Welcome to The Collective Talk, where real conversations lead to real inspiration. I'm your host, Ken Benson, and today's episode is extra sweet, literally and emotionally. I'm joined by someone who knows how to mix passion, creativity, and resilience into something unforgettable, my wife, Angela Benson. Angela is a nationally recognized custom cake decorator and business owner whose journey hasn't been easy. In fact, she was told more than once that she wouldn't succeed, that her dreams were too big and her vision too bold, but she proved them all wrong. We'll talk about her story, the challenges she's faced, the power of believing in yourself. This episode is proudly sponsored by Dream Romantic Vacations. They specialize in unforgettable getaways, destination weddings, and group retreats. We'll hear more about them later on in the show. Angela, thank you for being here. Thank you for doing this with your husband. I appreciate it. Nobody knows you like I know you, and nobody knows me like you know me. But and I know that you're used to baking behind the scenes and not being in front of the mic, but let's go to the beginning. When did your love for baking cakes and design first start?
It first started with my grandmother. I just remember being in the kitchen with her, sitting on a counter, watching her do her cakes. And that just kind of grew to me wanting to help her and do them myself.
Were you the kid baking for family parties, or did that come later in life?
That came later in life. I was the one who was in charge of desserts. And I was always trying to find something different and over the top, something that I hoped that my family would like.
So you said that your grandmother, you know, kind of sparked this interest in baking for you. So tell me how did you transition from being in the kitchen with grandma? And I know you said you used to have to step up on the step stool to be able to help her bake. How did it turn from baking in the kitchen with grandmother to actually thinking about angel cakes, thinking about being a cake decorator? Give us that story.
Well, it kind of came about during the time that I lost my job as a commercial banker. At that time, I was going through a divorce, and I also found out I also had a cancer scare, so to say. Right. So I felt a little defeated, and I was like, okay, God, you have my attention. What is it that you want from me? And I went ahead because I wanted to do something for myself. So by me baking, I was like, let me perfect my craft. So I went and took a cake decorating class at Michael's Craft Store.
Okay. What were some of the biggest challenges you faced starting out?
I will say the recognition was the biggest challenge. Okay. Just getting my name out there, marketing. I knew that I had a good product. I could make a cake, that I knew. Right. But when it came down to like decorating cakes on that level, I wasn't quite sure yet. So okay. I just getting my name out there and getting my work out there so that people could see it.
So for people who are listening, give us some of the tips. And this has been a while since you started, but I think some of the marketing tips that you use are still relevant now. So tell us how you got your name out there. And this was a time where social media, I think, was just kind of coming to the horizon. It wasn't what it is right now. So how did you get your name out when social media, there was no TikTok, there was no Snapchat, there was none of those things? So how did you get your name out and let people see the product and be able to, you know, give you a call and see what you're about?
Now I'm aging myself. So back then it was just Google or the internet. All right. So I don't know if people realize that in search engines, there's a way to get your name to the top of the search engine. So you have to go into Google and you have to do all of these different elements to get to the top of the search engine. And I just went through those steps to get to the top of the search engine, went on there, post pictures of my cake, all the products that I done, And then, like you said, internet had the social media had came about, and I think that was just Facebook. Facebook had just become like this new thing, aging myself again. And then I had an opportunity to do a business page to showcase my work.
Wow, that is wonderful. And I think that that's something, and I think it was a drive. So talk about when you had to do your own website and what it took into the, so you didn't actually, go to someone professional to do it. You took it upon yourself to do it yourself. Why was that important that you did it yourself and that you didn't go out to someone else to get it done?
I would have to say because I'm a go-getter, I figure if I feel like there's something that I can do, I'm gonna go ahead and do it myself. Was it difficult? Absolutely. Did I know what I was doing? Absolutely not. And that's probably why I was able to do it because I didn't know what was in store or how to go about or what was going to be the end result.
Now I know there were some people who said it wouldn't work. How did you push through that?
Like I said, I'm a go-getter. I don't, defeat is not something that's in my vocabulary, I guess that I could say. It was more like fuel for me to like push forward. So that was determined to do exactly the opposite of what they said.
Now, was there a moment when you realized that this just isn't a hobby anymore, that this is my purpose? And tell us about that moment.
That moment came about when I started chasing my hobby. And when I said chasing my hobby, it was the demand. I think at that time I was the only one in this area doing custom cakes. And it was new at that time. You're talking about 2009, when custom cakes wasn't really a thing, so to say. So everyone was like, had this big wow, can I get that? How do I go about getting one of those? So, yeah.
So now when we talk about custom cakes, I know that now people think about custom cakes and they think about it a little differently than they did back then. But can you just tell us a little bit about what it takes in making a custom cake? What time that you have to put into it and materials that you need. I want people to just get an understanding of what you go through as a baker and cake decorator. What does that, how much time does that go into? We always see the end result. And a lot of us, like myself, when I first met you, thought, oh, it's just easy. You can whip that up if you know what you're doing. But really talk about, what goes into making a custom cake.
It takes about anywhere between 3 and 5 days to make a custom cake, depending on the design, and how many servings you want or you need. So the first thing, of course, is baking the cake. The larger the cake, the more cake you have to bake. Once you bake that cake, then you go on to the decorations for the cake. And those can be very intricate. So you make those particular decorations. And like we said earlier, everything that I do is edible. Every aspect of my cake is edible. So if it's going to be a flower, it's going to be an edible flower. If it's going to be a cookie monster, I am sitting there, I'm making the cookie monster. So you have to make all of those elements first before you, while your cake is in the refrigerator doing its thing, because it's important to have a cold cake. Then the next thing is frostening that cake, because you have to get it all frosted before you put the fondant on, which is the next step to that. And then after putting the fondant on, you have to then go ahead and decorate the cake. So there's many steps, several steps to doing a custom cake.
So your average cake that you've done, and I know, like as you said, some cakes vary in size and vary in design, but the talk about the cake that it took you the longest to do to create from beginning to end, and why did it take that long? What was the, what goat went into actually creating that cake?
I think the longest cake or the most intricate design cake I did was a wedding cake. And it was 3 tiers, no, maybe 4 tiers.
All right.
So you're talking about cakes stacked on top of each other.
All right.
And it was an intricate design where it had the quotes in it, and it had 999 dragées on it. Now, you know what a dragée is, but a
Right. Tell the people what a
dragée
dragée is. Yes,
is a
please.
dragée is a little metal ball which comes in several sizes, probably the largest maybe about 3 millimeters,
Okay.
and the smallest some centimeters.
Yes.
So I had to put all of these dragées on this 4-level cake.
Wow.
And it's a very tedious job because you're doing it by hand. So it's each dragée by hand. And it was so tedious that I had my husband come over and help me. And
Yes.
that's why he knows how to say the word dragée,
That's
because
right. That's
I
right.
don't think he wants to see another
Never
dragée.
again in
So.
life. No, that you broke me into what it took and all of the things that you went through to make a cake. And it truly is not as easy as it seems. And the thing about it is that you are a home baker and a home cake decorator. So you weren't in the shop where you had machines pressing out your fondant, or you had, lots and lots of hands helping you to create the cake. You were doing all of this on your own. And so that just shows the push that you had to make sure. And think about this, you said a wedding cake. So that's the one cake that you don't want to mess up, because that only comes once in a lifetime. Hopefully, you get birthdays come every year, parties come all the time, but that wedding is that one thing. And the cake is always one of the centerpieces of the wedding. So I can only imagine how nervous you were in doing that and how much you stressed in doing that. But let's talk about one of your favorite cakes, maybe a design that pushed your creativity, or and it really it just it wore on you emotionally. What was that cake, and tell us about that cake.
I think the most intricate cake that I did that wore on me was a crown and pillow cake.
Okay.
Not that it was what it was. It was very intricate, and it had like all these components on it.
All
So
right.
I don't know. It just became. I think I got to the point where I couldn't see it, because a lot of my designs, I have to see it in order
Right.
to execute it. But this particular one, I just could not see it. So I got, I don't know, frustrated and felt a little bit defeated. So I called you up. I remember
Right.
calling you up, and I was like, I can't do this. I think I went a little bit over my head. This is out of my scope. I cannot do this. And you encouraged me, telling me that I could, and I went back and I was able to execute it, and the customer was just wowed with the particular cake. But
Right.
little did she know, I struggled very hard with that particular cake.
No, that is wonderful. And I guess that leads into another question. So how do you stay creative when clients ask for similar themes or trends? I remember at one time that Frozen was a thing, and everybody wanted this Elsa cake. Everybody wanted Elsa to be on that cake. So knowing that this is Elsa is just only one person, how do you stay creative in times like that when people are asking for things that may be the trend of the time?
Just asking the customer what exactly it is that they want on their cake. Some people wanted Elsa, some people wanted what's the snowman's name? Yulaf. Some people wanted the reindeer. Some people even wanted Elsa's sister on the cake. So it's just the different components of the cake, and exactly more so what the customer wants on their cake, what they want to see on their cake.
Okay. What tools or materials are essential to your decorating success?
A good rolling pin. You can ask my son about a good rolling pin.
All right.
some fondant, most definitely fondant. You also need your pans. I have 912 million baking pans in all shapes, every shape. You have to know how to make buttercream, because buttercream is essential to having that fondant stick to the cake. So you have to know how to make that buttercream and fondant. I mean, fondant, a lot of people use modeling chocolate, but anything fondant, modeling chocolate to execute those particular shapes.
What was the most unusual cake request that you've ever gotten from a customer?
I got a lot of requests to do novelty cakes. I guess that's I don't know if that's how you say that. I got a lot of requests to do those, and I
And when you
just
say
always
novelty case, again, this is Collective Talk, real talk for real change. So tell us what that means in case
it
people don't
was
know.
dirty, dirty cakes. So, the adult style cakes is what they were asked for, and I just told them I don't do adult cakes. So I think that was like some of the most outrageous cakes that I was asked to do.
No, I definitely understand. What's the most difficult technique you've mastered, and how long did it take you to get it right?
The technique that I mastered, I will have to say that buttercream. Buttercream is a is an art. It is a technique. I mean, it's no true measurements to it. It's all about the consistency and the thickness and what you're able to work with. Like some people can work with a looser buttercream and some people like a thicker buttercream. I was the type of person who like a thicker buttercream. And so it was like a technique to get that buttercream to a specific consistency so that you can work it on your cake. Because the smooth buttercream is everything when you're putting that fondant on the cake, because that helps it look smooth.
Now, I know this, and because I'm married to you, of course, but a lot of people may not know this. What is the difference between buttercream and then frosting that we get outside of the can? I think sometimes people conflate the two and they think one may be the other, but what's the difference between buttercream and frosting?
The stuff that you get in the store, that frosting, is not made with any butter or any of the ingredients that true buttercream is made out of. Now, there's several different buttercreams. So you have the traditional American buttercream that's made out of butter, and then you have the standard buttercream that you people get on birthday cakes today. And then there's meringue or whipped meringue buttercream that a lot of people use. So there's different types of buttercreams.
Okay, so now you told us about the technique that you enjoyed. Now talk about that technique that you avoid, that you want to try to get away from and stay away from as much as possible. It gives you the flux.
Cupcakes. I do not like doing cupcakes, and people love cupcakes, but I don't know. I guess because I'm so accustomed to doing like large scale cakes, a cupcake is something that's like, oh, cupcakes and cake pops and all those little treats. Too much work, too tedious. I'll prefer to do something on a grander scale. Not to say that I don't do cupcakes, because you know that I have done like the liquor infused cupcakes for customers. That was early on in my baking journey.
Now fondant or buttercream, because we heard you talk about both. Which one is your go-to and why?
I like fondant because of the smooth look. Some people can achieve that with buttercream, or it can be achievable with buttercream. But I prefer fondant because of the more realistic look of it, especially if you're doing customized cakes.
Now we know from other cake decorators that they A lot of times they're artists, and so they're able to draw and sketch out the things that they like, and then they use that to create the cake. So I know that your background is not in art, and that you are not an artist, and that you don't sketch. So how do you create a cake when you don't derive it from a sketch?
I just have this thing where I could see a cake. I it's kind of hard to explain, but I see it. And I know I've told you several times, if I can't see it, I can't execute it. So there's just this thing where I can see the whole process, so that I can execute the design.
Wow, wonderful. All right, then, you know what? Before we go further, we want to thank our sponsor. And so we have a little thing from Dream Romantic Vacations.
Looking for the perfect destination for your next special event? Dream Romantic Vacations makes it easy. We handle every detail so you can enjoy unforgettable memories. We plan romantic getaways, destination weddings, group trips, and corporate retreats with expert care. You'll enjoy seamless planning and personalized service, along with an exclusive travel experience tailored just for you. Call 708-442-4775 or email vacay@dreamromanticvacations.com. Visit dreamromanticvacations.com. Let us handle the details while you enjoy the journey.
All right, that's Dream Romantic Vacations. Whether you're planning a destination wedding, a romantic anniversary trip, or a luxury group getaway, Dream Romantic Vacations make it effortlessly. They take care of the planning so you can focus on creating lasting memories. Call 708-442-4775 or email vacay@dreamromanticvacations. You can also visit dreamromanticvacations.com. Dream Romantic Vacations, let them handle the details while you enjoy the journey. Thank you, Dream Romantic Vacations. Now, Angela, let's talk about business, because we talked about the fun part, but now we need to talk about the business of starting a cake business. So, talk about that one thing that helped you on the business side when you decided that you wanted to bake cakes.
The one thing that helped me was I came from the baking, I mean the banking world. So I was a little versed when it came down to how to form a business when it comes down to LLCs and corporations. I knew a little bit about that going into my business, which is how I knew how to set up my business form, or I should say business format, which Angel Cakes was an LLC. And I knew that being an LLC, which is a limited liability company, is the route that I wanted to go, because as an owner, you're just not held responsible for something that's more of the company.
Okay. And now starting and creating a business is one thing, but growing and sustaining is another. What's one lesson you've learned the hard way about running a cake design business?
With business, in any business, in the beginning, it's all about investing back into yourself.
Okay.
You're not gonna make a profit right off the bat. I think that's what a lot of entrepreneurs go in thinking, oh, I can go in and I can make this, I can make money off of it, but
Right.
Not necessarily. You do more investing in the first 5 years in your business than any years of any years. So even sometimes after 5 years, you may not see that profit that you think that, a sustainable profit, I guess I should say.
Okay. So how do you handle creative burnout, especially with clients expecting perfection, like for weddings or for big events?
Sometimes you just need to take a break for yourself because you can get burned out, especially if you're working by yourself. Like myself, I did everything by myself. I mean, later on, I did hire two people, but I did work by myself. It was more so me by myself. And sometimes you just have to step away and take a break.
Okay. You know? Now I think that everyone in business needs to hear that at some point you need to take a vacation. At some point you need to step away. And as much as we know that you want to invest in your business and you want your business to be successful, no, you can pour everything into your business and it can become successful. But if you're burned out or you're into a point where you're stressed out and you mentally and emotionally can't enjoy it anymore, then you can't enjoy everything that you've built. So it's extremely important to take a break and step away. And I think it helps your creative juices as well.
It helps your creativity, most definitely.
Okay. What role has community support or lack of it played in your journey?
Community support was essential in my in my journey, because without the community, there would not have been an Angel Cakes. Towards, you know, latter years, I think maybe in year 6 or 7, Angel Cakes was a household name. You know, I never expected it to go that far, but we just go into places and people be like, oh my gosh, it's Miss Angel Cakes. And, you know, I'm just this home baker. I'm just doing what I love. And here it is now, I'm a household name.
Right. Now, I, for one, experienced that with you being out someplace and people stopping you and talking about cakes that you made, and you've made so many. And it was like, yeah, okay, you know, you were very gracious and accommodating, and you tend to speak with them. But I'm, you know, afterwards, you like, I don't remember that cake, but, you know, I do remember that people are coming up and they're recognizing, especially in the Indiana area where your business is, so many people that you've done cakes for. And so how did people get recommended to you? Because, you know, you started this journey, you tried to get your name out there. Social media wasn't the thing that it is right now. So how did people refer other people to you?
Word of mouth. Word of mouth was just everything for my business. Going out into the community, having people sample my cakes. Word of mouth, just getting out there, letting people know what I had to offer.
Okay. And I think that's important. You know, marketing now to this day is everything, especially for someone with a small business. You have to figure out ways to get your name out there, to get your product seen, and so people will know who you are and how to connect with you. What advice would you give to another woman or man who has a creative gift and wants to build something with it but feels stuck or unsupported?
I'm the type of person who says, step out on faith. Don't have that fear. If that's within you, then by all means, go ahead and do that. Faith without work is dead. You know, that's what they said. And I also believe that God will make room for your gifts. So if you have a gift, God most definitely wants you to share that gift with everyone, and believe he will make room for it.
Wow, wonderful, wonderful. Now, we've watched your business grow and we've seen your talent reach so many, but as your husband, I've seen the behind the scene battles as well. What keeps you grounded when the pressure is high?
I think, like I told you, I don't expect everyone to like Angel Cakes. That's just like saying, oh, everyone likes McDonald's. No, everyone doesn't like McDonald's.
Right.
So I think that's how I got through that whole process. If someone wasn't happy with my cake, you know, I was okay with it, because everyone doesn't like McDonald's. So everyone's not going to like Angel Cakes. So that's how I got through that.
So now, just like you said, that sometimes as business owners, we may put out a product that people, they just don't like, and they don't feel it. And no matter how you explain it to them, it's not what they see. Even though you may have given them exactly what they asked for, now that they see the end product is not what they envision. Now, how do you deal with, or how did you deal with customers like that? You know, they say, hey, I want you to create this. You created exactly what they asked you for. But then when they saw it, it's like, well, no, I thought it would be something different. How did you deal with that?
that was the whole purpose of like a deposit. So, you know, when people put a deposit down, it's non-refundable.
Right.
So even if I did, in those cases, offer a partial refund, I mean, I know that, you know, you always want to make the customer happy. I would do a partial refund, and or I would ask them to give me a second chance or another opportunity to do something for them, and I would discount a cake. I would
Okay, now,
discount that following cake.
did you check in with customers along the way in the process? Did you stop and give them a, you know, an example of, or a sample of what you were doing, or did you just go throughout the entire process and then they saw the end result?
I offered tastings, most definitely for wedding cakes. You always offer a tasting. But even before tastings, I had a contract. I did have people execute a contract, laying out all the details in the process of what goes into the cake and what's expected from me and what's expected from the customer.
Okay. Now let's do a little fun rapid fire. I'm just gonna throw some questions at you and give me the answers that you have. Favorite cake flavor to bake?
Red velvet.
Why?
It's yummy.
It's yummy. I would agree. I would agree with that. It is definitely yummy. What is your least favorite trend that you were tired of? And we talked about Elsa and Frozen. What was that one thing that you were just like, if I make another one of these, I am going to lose my mind?
Elsa and Frozen. I literally Elsa and Frozen. I mean, how many Frozen cakes did I do? I had to
Wow.
have done like, I don't know, 30, 40 Frozen cakes. I don't know.
Absolutely.
And you talk about 30, 40 different designs each time those cakes were made. Frozen.
Okay.
But speaking about Frozen, I'll never forget this little young lady. I think she was like 5 or 6 years old. She
Okay.
came in and told me she wanted a Frozen cake. She had her whole layout. She came in with her design drawn, telling me how she wants certain things on her cake. Now, that was a time Frozen wasn't an Achilles tendon, I mean, Achilles for me, because
Right.
this young lady knew exactly what she wanted with Frozen. So.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now we know in business, you very you know, it's especially starting out in business that being able to create something for a celebrity, not a lot of people get to do, but you were able to do something for not only a celebrity, but a world famous, internationally known celebrity. Tell us who that celebrity was and tell us what you got to do and how you got to do it.
That celebrity will be one of my hometown celebrities, and that would be Michael Jackson. I was given the opportunity to do his 54th birthday cake for
Okay.
his mother, Katherine Jackson.
Now, how did you come about that? How did you get to bake a cake from Katherine Jackson? I think we need to know the story. Did she just call you up on the phone and say, "Hey, Miss Angel Case, this is Katherine Jackson, Michael's mom. I need you to bake this 54th birthday cake for him." How did you get to that point? And tell us the steps. We want to know.
Well, you know, all of us cake bakers in this area, Northwest Indiana, we all know each other. So,
Okay.
one of my fellow cake makers down in Indianapolis said that she got a phone call from one of Michael's relatives here in Gary, stating that they needed a cake made
All right.
for his 54th birthday. And she was like, "Oh, I'm in Indianapolis, but I do know someone that's in Gary who could, you know, who can help you out."
Okay.
So she gave me a call. I told her, "Yes, I would love to make a cake for her." We got to talking, and then she was like, "Well, this cake is for my cousin Michael Jackson." I was like, "The Michael Jackson?" And she was like, "Yes, the Michael Jackson." And she
All
was
right.
like, "After looking at your work, I most definitely want you to do the cake. Not so much that, you know, your cakes are, they look nice, but because you are from Gary." So she was like, "That would just be the perfect compliment." So before I even got into the car leaving our meeting, I had an executive from the ABC giving me a call saying that she needed a layout of the cake to be presented to her and Catherine like the next day. So it was a whirlwind. It was all crazy. So I did get to meet Catherine Jackson, and you know, I gave her my blueprint layout of the cake. She approved it, and we just kind of went for there, and ended up being on television because it was a celebration for his 54th birthday down at the museum in Gary. I know people are familiar with that museum down in Gary, so it was a big thing. Like I said, ABC was out there, and it had all the media coverage, so I was just very blessed to get that opportunity to do.
Wow, what a cake. Yeah, what a wonderful opportunity for someone that was really just starting out in business. So let me ask you this, and this is, I think it's important. What was your very first paid order, and how did you feel when you got it, if you can remember?
My very first paid order was for a club promoter who was doing a Facebook party.
All right.
And he asked me to do a cake that looked like a Facebook page.
All right.
And I think I was still in class at that time. I was still taking my decorating class at that time. And I remember telling him, I don't know if I'm ready for something like that. And he just kind of laughed at me. He was like, oh, yeah, you're ready. You're ready. So me and my assistant at that time, Shannon Sams, we just kind of like looked at each other. It was like, okay, we're going to do this cake. So we cut out all the edible images to go on the cake. So we actually had like friends, you know how your Facebook page looks with the friends on it, the Facebook banner, little commentaries going down the middle of it, and it was a hit, and my phone never stopped ringing after that.
Wow, that's wonderful. Now, one thing I've learned from you and just talking to you and you know, thinking about watching cake shows and bake shows, the Food Channel, that you know, this kind of business is seasonal. You know, sometimes you have the busy season, and then sometimes you have the slow season. So how did you stay motivated during a slow season or even burnout periods?
Slow seasons, you just kind of go with the flow at that time. I mean, the busiest time is usually summertime. And that's when you have like all the weddings and, you know, all those summer babies, you have all those birthdays coming. And then it slows down a little bit in the fall.
All right.
until Thanksgiving. And then Thanksgiving, you know, people want the more traditional cakes like caramel cakes and German chocolate cakes during November and December. January is just slow. Wintertime is just slow. I mean, if no one's having a birthday party, or if you're not, someone's not having an event, it's just slow.
Right. So now you said that you got your inspiration from being in your grandmother's kitchen. Have you ever mentored anyone, held a class or taught anyone about cake baking and techniques on baking a cake?
Yes, I had an intern who was taking a class at Ivy Tech. She was taking a culinary class at Ivy Tech.
All right.
So she interned with me for a summer, mm-hmm. and that was great. I really like having her around, not just, you know, for the internship, but also as a mentor as well, because that's kind of what it turned into. So that was a great opportunity. I also had a little girl come in, and we did a Barbie doll cake.
All right.
She was so excited about that, and that was my first time doing a class like that, and it was awesome. She enjoyed it, so.
Wonderful. What would you wish someone had told you before you started this cake journey?
That business is very hard. Having your own business is very hard. It's not for the meek, I'm telling you. It's just not for the meek. A lot of long hours. It's not a 9-to-5, so it's not like you You punch in, you punch out. Nope, it's not like that. When you own your own business, it's a lot of long days, late nights. It's just hard. I mean, especially if it's just you, it's hard. It's just hard.
And see, I think a lot of, entrepreneurs, they think that, hey, we're just gonna jump in there. We got this great idea. We're gonna put it out there. We're gonna make lots of money. But what they don't understand is just what you said. There's a lot of lonely nights. There's a lot of long hours that go into actually making a successful business. And so, for any entrepreneur that's listening and watching, just know that if you are prepared to be an entrepreneur and to start a business of your own, be ready to suffer some of those long hours. Be ready to deal with some of those difficult things, and know that if you continue to persevere, then the outcome will be great. So, does your faith or personal values influence your work in any way?
It does.
Tell me why.
Because my name is everything, so what I have in here is what I put out in my cakes. So yeah, my faith does influence what I do, which is why I didn't do the adult cakes because of who I am. I am a Christian. I do stand on top of that. Everyone knows that I'm a Christian, so I do stand on that and stick to that. So,
Wonderful. Now we live in this world, and I'm interested, and this is something I definitely had to touch on. We live in a world where everybody wants to bargain. I want to bargain, I want to bargain. And I sometimes I see this, and I just have to say it, mostly in Black communities with Black business owners. We want to be able to bargain, 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 bargain. Now, what is your advice to someone about their price? Not moving from their price. They price what they price, and they don't, but there's somebody trying to get them to give a different price.
I would say stick to your price and don't discount yourself, because once you do that, you're not paying yourself
Okay.
and you're not saying that you're valuable. If someone does not want to pay you what you know you're worth, then by all means, let that person go. Find someone that can do it cheaper. Cheaper does not always mean better, but if that's what they prefer, then that's what they prefer. But don't cheat yourself and don't lower your standards, because you know the product that you put out and you know the time that you put into it. So yeah, stand on your price.
No, I agree. If you're listening and watching, your price is your price. And if somebody wants a price that's cheaper than that, then they need to go find somebody else. And I'm sure there's somebody else that could do it. But have you experienced somebody you've given them a price for the product because you know what the end results would be? You know the time that you would put into it. And then they went to get something cheaper and you actually had an opportunity to see the cheaper product. Have you ever experienced something like that? And tell us what that was and how that cheaper product looked to you.
I personally have not like experienced anything like that, but I know a lot of people would tell me, well, I can get that cake at Sam's Club for XYZ ABC, and I was like, well, by all means, go get your custom cake at Sam's Club. But that custom cake looked nothing like my custom cake,
Right,
so
right.
you pay. You get what you pay for.
That's right, and that's it. You get what you pay for. What message would you want every little girl or little boy watching to hear about chasing dreams? What message would you have for them about chasing your dreams?
Never stop dreaming. Never stop dreaming. I mean, if you have this passion or this thing burning inside you and it won't let you go, by all means, don't stop chasing it. Chase it, chase it, chase it, chase it until you catch it. And once you catch it and it catch on fire, be prepared
All right.
because
All
you're going to
right.
continue to run behind it.
No, I think that's wise. Now, we have a little bit more time left, but I want to give you an opportunity to tell one of the funniest stories that I know. How has your family supported you and your cake journey. Tell us a little bit about your family and your cakes.
My family started off as my guinea pigs, so to say. You know, they, everything that I made in the beginning, I made them test it. You know, they would eat it. You know, they would tell me if it was good, and they would also tell me when it wasn't good. So
all right.
They were my guinea pigs. So
okay. Now there is one person in your family that I know that truly enjoys one of the cakes that you make. It may not even be a custom cake, but it is one of the cakes that you make, and it happens to be your father. So tell mm-hmm. everybody the wonderful story about your father and the remnants of your cakes.
My dad loved my German chocolate cake, okay. but he would call it his, what did he call it? He would call it his coconut cake.
Okay.
And he wanted this coconut cake infused with the 1800 coconut. What was it? I don't know.
What is that? It's not tequila, is it?
We know
1800. Yeah, everybody
right,
knows 1800.
It was the 1800 coconut.
Right.
So he had to have his German chocolate cake with the 1800 coconut flavored, whatever that is. So
okay. So now, and we got a few moments left, but this is important, I think, for me. What does a typical day in your kitchen look like? What did that day look like for you?
Oh my gosh, lots and lots of coffee, buttercream everywhere, fondant everywhere, cake tools, and just things everywhere. But in the end, a beautiful cake.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. All right, lastly, just talk about Angel Cakes from beginning to where you felt like you had a bit of success. What did that feel like to you? What was that journey? But before you answer that, let's make that your last question. But you had an opportunity to do something that may not have to do with baking cakes, but you were able to go on a television show to do something. Tell us about that television show that you were able to go on, and what did you do, and who did you have an opportunity to meet?
I had an opportunity to go on Windy City Live. I know people in this area know Windy City Live. I got an opportunity to meet Val. She's a sweetheart. It was for a cupcake contest, which I told you I don't like cupcakes, making
right.
cupcakes. But when I got the call, I didn't believe it at first, but I got the call saying that I had, I was given an opportunity to do this contest, and I had to go the next day. So here it is. I'm scrambling, making cupcakes, go down to the studio and meet like one of the cupcake queens. I got to meet Candace Nelson from Cupcake Wars off of Food Network. And that was everything to me. I mean, that was even past the actual being on television to me, Candace Nelson. So.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, lastly, my last question for you before we wrap it up is, talk about the feeling that you had when you finally feel like you reached success, where you got to that place that you were and you felt accomplished. What was that feeling like to you?
You know, I don't think I ever like got to that point, but you know, when I look back over the things that I was able to do, like make a cake for Michael Jackson. I was in a Michael Jackson contest. I got to make a cake for Alfred Edmond of Black Enterprise magazine. You know, I got to make a cake for Ford Motor Company. You know, I was in the newspaper several times. So when I look back over it like that, it's like, wow. You know, I guess I did do a lot of things, but nice. when I to myself, you know, I feel like, you know, I'm still that person in the kitchen making cakes for my family and my dad and my aunt fighting over the scraps. So
right. So you went from commercial banking, losing your job, a divorce, a health scare to actually going into business for yourself and becoming pretty successful at that business. What kind of push did you have internally to be able to do that? Because I know that there were times, like you said, that you wanted to give up. There were times where things just didn't go right. You may have not had enough hours in the day to do the things that you wanted to do. You stayed up pretty late doing cakes, and you dedicated days of your life to doing just one cake. What internally pushed you to continue when most people would have just given up?
I'm about to say being a single mom at that time when I started.
Okay.
It was just he and I. And my family's encouragement. I had a lot of backing, and I had a bunch of encouragement from my family. You know, I spoke about my aunt, her and my uncle. They were there for me at the Michael Jackson birthday parties. They went with me when I got to meet what's his name from the Shark Tank?
Damon John.
Yes, I got to. They were there with me when I got to meet him. They were there with me when I won the Farmers Insurance contest. You know, it's just family. They push me and they encourage me. Family, including you, you know, push me, encourage me to move forward as you continue to push me to move forward into that cake business. So
having a support system is extremely important to business, and not mm-hmm. somebody who's going to tell you what you need to hear, but somebody that will actually push you, tell you when you're wrong, and you know, mm-hmm. encourage you and lift you up when you're right, but tell you when you're wrong. And it may make you feel some kind of way when yeah. they tell you, but having that support system and people that you trust around you makes you really successful in business. Now, you've talked mm-hmm. about a lot of things that entrepreneurs could learn from this segment, but give me three things that, you know, stand out in your mind that you've learned over time that are important for entrepreneurs, somebody starting out in any business, especially in a business, you know, that deals with food. We know that, you know, statistics say that, you know, restaurants and things that are around food have a tendency not to last. So give me three things that you would say to an entrepreneur to say, look, these are the three most important things you need to know as you venture out into starting your own business.
You won't become successful overnight.
Okay.
It's a 5-year process. I think a lot of people don't share their part. It is a 5-year process. Don't lose your passion. I mean, if you're passionate about it, you're going to continue to go, continue to do what you do. And what I tell a lot of people is it may be hard, but it's not impossible.
Okay. Now, the one thing you said, and we talked about you being a home baker. So that means your business was inside of your home. So now how did you separate the two? How did you turn the business mode off and turn into mommy mode or Angie mode and then go back to business knowing that they were all in the same place?
It kind of commingles. It's all mushed up. I mean, you know, even though I was at home baker, I've was also the baker for my son's football team. So they had this dinner every Friday before games, and I was the one who provided the desserts. So everything kind of commingled, but I never missed a beat with my son. I was at every last one of his games. You know, I was there to do, you know, whatever it is that he did extra. And he was there with me, you know, like I said, I did the gym suit cake. He's the gym suit fanatic. So he made sure that I didn't miss any particular, you know, particular design on the shoe.
Okay. So I think you said something important that we need to really, you know, emphasize to people who are listening and watching, that you can go after your dream, but still make room for yourself, still make room for the people that you love. And I think that will help with your mental health. You know, that's mm-hmm. something that will keep you grounded, because you are not immersed 24 hours, 7 days a week into that dream. Now, it may seem that way, but sometimes, as you say, you have to step away and go do something fun or do something with someone that you love. And then I think that will, you know, give you a balance that you need. So, and, you know, step away from the thought process of doing what you're doing. And then when you go back, you may be refreshed and more motivated to do it again. So we have a few moments left. So let me get some parting words from you for people who are out there thinking about starting a cake business or a food truck, or they want to go into health and beauty products, or they're looking to start a nonprofit organization. What are some of those things that you just really want to emphasize? I know you talked about the three things that you want them to know, but now from the heart, I want you to just let them know, you know, because of your journey, what you've learned on your journey, and something from the heart that you want to share with them that they can't hear from most people. Now, you know, sometimes you talk to folks and a lot of people sometimes say the same things. You know, you got to push through. You got to be strong. You can't give up. Faith without works is dead. You know, we hear that a lot when it comes to, you know, just working in general. So now from the heart, tell the budding entrepreneur something that you would like for them to know in closing.
Love what you do. Love what you do. If you love what you're doing or what you're going into business to do, it'll come easy because you love it so much. I mean, you're gonna pamper it and take care of it like your baby. So if you love your job, or you know, your whatever it is that you're going into business for, it'll be successful. I just think it'll be successful. Just love what you do.
No, I think those are some great words to live by. And so, Angela, I just want you to know I'm so proud of you, not just because of what you do, but because of the way you do it. Your story is one of grace and grit and undeniable talent. Thank you for sharing it here today. To our listeners, if you're chasing a dream and you feel discouraged, I hope today reminded you that even when people say you can't, your passion can prove them wrong. Huge thanks again to our sponsor, Dream Romantic Vacations. Check them out at dreamromanticvacations.com. Next time on The Collective Talk, we're diving into women's college basketball. Be sure to follow, like, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Until then, stay inspired and keep that conversation going. Thank you, baby.
You're welcome. Good night.
Good night.